So hello everyone, this is Willem Hast with the podcast Winning the Game. I share from decades of training leaders, already productive, successful leaders, to thrive in life, to be even more productive in their leadership of themselves and their teams, but also to thrive in life, to access clarity, well-being, creativity, and have a truly rich life outside of work as well. And I'm joined today with Fiona, or Fee as everybody calls you.
That's right. Hi, yes. Everybody. Great to be here.
And today I might talk more than you, and you might just chip in a few questions now and then and see how we go with this. We did another podcast recently where you dove into with some depth about a couple of perspectives of the nature of the human experience. And I'll stick to the same topic today, but I'll probably share it in a different flavor. I said in the past episode, which you don't need to have watching this, you can go back and watch it later if you like, or listen to it later if you hear the audio version of this, because something I love about this understanding that we're sharing today is that the flavor of the teaching sounds very different with different teachers or trainers. 2011, I started listening to people who shared the same principles or the same teaching, but it sounded so different from different people because they had their own experience of what they were teaching about. They didn't have their personal interpretation or the personal kind of opinion about something. They talked from an experience of something very, very fundamental. And I dove into that topic 14, 15 years ago now, and I'm still returning to it. Most of the time with clients, we talk about some aspects of what I'm going to share with you today. Because I described it at the time as an annoyingly simple way to explain the nature of human experience. I've been teaching for decades already, but this understanding made it so simple. And people shifted so quickly when they started to get what we'll point to here today. So, the experience of life is something we're not educated in school much. We're educated in how our bodies work, right? Hearts and lungs and skeleton inside. And we know a lot of stuff around our body already when we're 10, 11 years old. Ask people what makes up your experience moment to moment. They go, what do you mean? Well, I see things in life and there are objects here and other people. Yeah, but what creates your experience of life? We're not educated in it.
Indeed not.
Something which is easy to start to notice is that one fact of your experience as a human being and your experience and my experience is that we have thinking going on. We are thinking creatures. Human beings live in a stream of thought all the time. That's the first fact of your experience. How many thoughts do we have per day? Well, you were going to say something there.
I was going to say something there, but I think we might differ given that you've got a kind of a blue mathematical head. So a lot of people say that we've got 60,000 thoughts a day, and I have no idea how they've actually measured that technically. I think you might think that it's a different number.
No, 60,000 is a number I stuck with for years, but then I read some fun, or to me, a little fun academic debate in some paper that some researcher was so annoyed and upset about some other researchers, so had a indecency to say 60,000. It was no more than 30,000 thoughts per day, he argued. And I was like, oh my God, it doesn't differ to me. It's more thinking than I could ever grasp, right? So there is a level of thought going on in your head and in my head that is way more than we have the capacity to pick up in our awareness. There's conscious thinking and unconscious thinking. So human beings are thinking creatures. Now, are our thoughts constant all the time or do they ebb and flow? They definitely ebb and flow.
Ooh, in my experience, they ebb and flow. To me, it's like a roller coaster of wee up and then oh down and up and then down. So yeah, we're in the ebb and flow of our thinking moment to moment.
Yeah. Sometimes our thoughts are very intense and loud. It's like we're stuck in a problem and we can't stop thinking of it. I'm sure if you're listening to this and you're probably a person that's productive at work, you're engaged, you might be a leader, a manager, a project leader, you're executive, whatever. You're engaged in some evenings. There is some thinking. You can't just let go of it. It keeps coming back all the time. sometimes human beings can control their thinking and we can say, ah, it's good, I'm thinking of something else now, read a book. But sometimes thought just returns to you. So the stream of thinking is an unavoidable fact if you want to describe what it means to be human. We think, or we have thinking. Sometimes we can control it, sometimes we can't. Well, there is this front on the hand and back of the hand relationship with two things. So if I have my thinking here, the back of my hand are my feelings. So if I think like this, I have these kinds of feelings, right? If I move my hand and I have thinking like this, well, that's the feelings that will go along with that kind of thinking. So whatever we feel in the moment is a direct mirror of the thinking in the moment.
That's right.
Would you say something about this feeling in your words? So why is it so important and freeing to realize that, wow, my feelings are not connected to the external world. They are simply connected to my own thinking.
And this is such a huge step to start to look at. Where do feelings come from? Again, we're taught as kids, and nobody's done this, I think, intentionally. It's just they didn't understand how the system actually works. But, you know, if you walk into a table as a kid, they'll say, bad table. Or, you know, at school, they'll say, yeah. The good people are the ones who raise their hand and know the answer. The bad people are the ones who don't raise their hand and don't know the answer. We get the sense of always that something outside of us makes us feel a certain way. So if the teacher says, oh, well done, Fee, I should feel good. I feel good. Look at me. I'm a good girl. I'm a good student. And we think that that's what's going on. We think that something outside of us can somehow make us feel a certain way. Now, what we're pointing to is there's something between things that happen outside, and life does happen. We have birth and death and sickness and lovely colleagues and not so lovely colleagues and wonderful relationships and not so wonderful relationships. So we're saying that stuff goes on in life. We're not ignoring that fact. But there is the feeling that's involved is not coming from outside of us. The feeling involved is coming from our thinking about the fact, or the thinking about our relationship, or the thinking about the fact that this went wrong today, or our thinking. So it is an inside job. Now, that may not sound like world-renowned, da-da, we should do something, you know, da-da, like, oh. But actually, when we start to realize, oh my gosh, I'm only ever feeling my thinking, what this points to is nothing outside of us has to change. Nothing. The person can still be an idiot. You can still be told that you've won the Olympic medal. Nothing has to change for our feeling to change. Because all that needs to happen is in the moment we have a new thought and we will get a new feeling, even in the same situation. And one of the ways that we teach this quite a lot is when you're stuck in traffic. Now, there's some days you're stuck in traffic, you might be going to a meeting, and you are so annoyed and irritated, oh my God, and we're going so slow, and I look at Google Maps, it's going to take 30 minutes, and oh my God, and we're in that feeling, and we're going, bloody traffic! You know, we're blaming it on the traffic.
It actually looks like that if the traffic hadn't been there, I wouldn't feel this way.
Exactly.
And that might be partly a valid explanation, right? But it's not that you're feeling the traffic, because the guy in the car behind you is in the exact same traffic, in this example, also on the way to an equally important meeting, and he doesn't feel the same. He feels like, oh, not great, I'll call them and tell them I'm late.
And there's some people who are sitting in the car behind that car, they're going, oh, time for myself. Let me listen to a podcast, or let me put on some music and that just, oh, isn't this lovely? I get 15 minutes before the start of the day. Now, it's still traffic, but in the three different cars, we're doing three different cars right now, One is annoyed, frustrated, irritated. Oh my God, what are they going to think of me? And we're just caught in this whirl of thinking and feeling and whirl of thinking and feeling, blaming traffic. The guy behind's going, yeah, okay, whatever. I'll let people know and I'll be there when I'm there. That's another thought-created feeling. And the lady in the car behind is putting on her makeup and going, oh, great, I've got time to put on my mascara and listen to some music and kind of bop away as I'm in the car. So same situation, same context, three different experiences of thought-created feeling. And the reason we want to point to this is there's no particular feeling with any particular event. It's not like if somebody gets sick that we have to have this feeling, or if somebody dies, we have to have this feeling, because we can have any thought or feeling about it in the moment. We can feel sad, of course, we can have a, but we can also feel maybe relieved. If somebody suffered quite a lot, there might be a thought of relief for that person. Or there might be a thought of, let's celebrate their life. So we have a celebration thought of what they've contributed to this world and this life. And so we could be living in the feeling of that. So no context, circumstance, or situation comes with its own feeling. It will always be thought created. And that gives us a power and a potential to have any thought and any feeling about any situation.
So we're pointing to the fact that when you're sitting in your car stuck in traffic, it's quite easy to catch yourself, oh, I'm thinking myself crazy here. I'm thinking myself into an upset. I'm actually having lots of stressful thinking of being late, so therefore I feel stressed. So I'm sure you caught yourself in traffic also, like 2 minutes later, you kind of, oh, this is stupid, I can't do anything about this. I just call them and tell them I'm late. And then you end up having a good time, actually, getting some space for yourself. So your thought evokes feelings all the time. Mm-hmm. Now, does thought stay the same over time? No, it does not. In my world, a thought lasts maybe 3 seconds or something. This is completely unscientific. It's just common sense that if I think something and don't hold on to it, I soon get a new thinking. Yep. I can think about a person, oh, that's an ugly sweater. And if I don't keep thinking about that sweater, oh, how can people buy stuff like that? Oh, it reminds me, oh, that's an ugly sweater. Okay, what's for lunch? Okay, let's focus on this meeting now. How long was this? Oh, who is coming today? There's this new flow of thought all the time. And if I don't cling to a particular thought, my feelings also come and go. If I'm upset and don't overthink about the upset, then upset can disappear very quickly. So as a human being, you have thoughts and you have feelings. And they come and go and come and go and come and go during the day. We got a dog called Alex. And it's interesting to notice how I feel so differently about this dog. Most of the days, I basically love him and appreciate him and really enjoy his company. But there are some days where I have moments of frustration and anger and irritation and annoyance because he doesn't behave the way I want him to behave. He's 19, 20 months old now, so he's still a bit of a puppy head sometimes. And if I get a frustration attack with Alex the dog, because I tell him to wait, and he doesn't wait, and I tell him again, wait, and then he doesn't wait, and third time I go, no, wait, and I'm frustrated because he's trained to wait by the door and not go outside until he gets permission to do so, but some days that's a little tricky for him. Some days I just smile inside and go, oh, isn't he cute? He's still learning, he's still a puppy, and I feel good all the time. Next day, exactly same situation, Alex behaving the same way, but I had a different kind of thinking. Oh my God, how long? I'm gonna stuck with this dog for 10 years now. Am I thinking? If I just let go of it and go, okay, I'm having a thought attack right now, I'm fine within minutes again. Because I know when I have my wise moments that my feelings are not being created by Alex's behavior. My feelings are coming from my thinking about the dog, Alex. Now, this is the first step in this understanding of human experience. situations don't have power over you. Your thinking might take power over you when you're not aware that you're feeling your thinking. In the moment we notice, oh, I'm feeling my thinking. I'm inside a lot of unhealthy thinking right now. Oh, I'm having a thought attack right now. Oh, this traffic really triggered my thinking. I can tell because I'm feeling off. Mm-hmm. Then you tell the truth about your experience. It's a thought created, felt experience about life that you and every human being have. And whenever the thinking will shift, your experience might shift. Same circumstance, different experience is absolutely possible when thinking shifts. I had a client who shared that for years and years and years, she was feeling frustrated all the time. Every day, frustrated. She was doing really, really well in her job. At the time, she was managing quite complex project as a product owner. Lots of people involved, lots of complexity, lots of human issues, lots of technology issues. She was doing really well and was rising in her career, but she was always frustrated. And she didn't know at the time about this fact of thinking being involved in the experience of life. She might have known it theoretically, I don't know, but she didn't wake up to this amazing fact of life. So she said, well, I feel so frustrated because, and then she lied like we all do when we don't tell the truth about how things work. I'm so engaged. She said, I'm frustrated every day, but I'm so engaged in what I do. And you know, engaged people, they need to live with a certain level of frustration because that comes with being engaged. So I have this gift in life, I'm an engaged individual, and the price I need to pay is I'm so frustrated. And to her, her frustration was explained by her engagement in things. Like, and she woke up to the fact that she's not frustrated because she's engaged. The only true explanation about her frustration is she feels frustrated because she has
frustrated thinking.
Yes. And she said, all right. Yeah, I think a lot and I'm really frustrated in my thinking about people not doing the job, about complexity in the systems, about things not going fast enough. She was a producer. And she started to realize like, wow, I have frustrated thinking every day, a lot of the time. And that's not anything to do with my engagement. If I keep up my high level of engagement and professionalism in what I do, but be a little more kind to myself and others and don't get stuck in such frustrated thinking all the time, I might feel different. Now she has a completely different experience of herself and life. It's quite amazing. It's like a transformation took place. Now she says, well, I'm actually a really peaceful person. And sometimes I get some frustrated thinking. Because she discovered something interesting. When that frustrated thinking wasn't filling her head, at core, she often returned to a very peaceful state. That's why she can deal with such high-intensity projects and the complex situation, because she recognized, no, when I'm truly myself, I'm not frustrated. When I'm connected to my innermost level of clarity and experience of life, I'm actually quite peaceful. And when I get frustrated thinking, I get revved up, but I can be highly engaged and highly peaceful at the same time. And that's you too. You have three facts of your experience of life. One is you're a thinker. Secondly, you feel your thinking, or you have an awareness or a consciousness that picks up your thinking and creates a felt experience from it that includes feelings. We all do. But the third part of this conversation is equally true for you as it was for this very engaged, peaceful producer. At core, you're fine. When you move from being busy-minded and caught up in your emotions, and your mind quiets down, you recognize some qualities of life that you connect to actually every day, even if you miss it. You feel peaceful. You feel clarity. You feel this sense of trust that things will work out. You feel connected to other people. You feel creative. You feel this deep sense of calmness and okayness with yourself in life. I've asked, I don't know how many thousand people, how they experience life and how they feel when they get out of a busy mind into a quiet mind and even below a quiet mind. And they all say the same thing. These qualities of life start to emerge, and that's how they would describe their deeper feelings about life. I once had a woman in a course, the only one who came up to me in the break and said, I hear everybody recognizing this sense of inner calmness and peace and quiet and clarity and creativity and appreciation for life. And I'm thinking, I don't have that. I don't connect to myself that way. I can't recognize that. I can see that I'm thinking. I can see that my feelings are connected to my thinking, but I can't see this last part. She was a little frustrated and impatient around it. And I told her, yes, relax. This was a third day follow-up, advanced a day to a two-day program I'd been leading. I said, yes, stick with the question. Is there like a deeper quality to life that I can recognize and trust and rely on? And you see what opens up. Now, in the coffee break in the afternoon, she came and told me, it's quite inspiring, actually. She said, you know, I found it. I got that too. I said, great, tell me more. When do you recognize it in life? And she said, I noticed always when I'm out with my dog walking in the woods, that's exactly how I feel. But you know what? I always thought it had to do with the woods and the dog. Like in those external circumstances, they make me feel this way. But I realized, no, what happens when I'm out in the woods with my dog? I stop thinking so much. My mind quiets down, and then that's how I feel. Again, it's an inside-out experience of life that we live in. It's not an outside-in experience. So she got that as peaceful and connected and clear-minded that she felt in the woods, she could actually feel anywhere. It had nothing to do with the woods. It had to do with her mind slowing down. So I talked a lot in this podcast, Fee.
You did.
I'll invite you to share what's the value of recognizing these three elements of experience, the thought and the feeling, but more importantly, the deep inner clarity human beings have. So what's the value of exploring this conversation over time in your experience?
Cool. The first thing that came to mind to say was, well, when we understand how the system works or how our experience gets created, which, as we've described today and in the last podcast, is it's always a thought-generated experience. It's a thought-feeling experience. But when we understand that moment to moment when thinking shifts, our feeling shifts and our experience shifts, it means we're never stuck with a feeling that we don't like for long or an experience we don't like for long. As long as we allow the system, it's a self-cleansing system. So when we have a new thought, we have a new feeling, we have a new experience. So it's just this potential for us, for the stuff that kind of troubles us or that frustrates us or irritates us and that we focus in on and try to analyze and get to the bottom of and why am I insecure or why am I, not a good at this thing in life or whatever that we spend analyzing and thinking through and thinking through and thinking through. We don't need to do that. It's not going to give us the answer. As soon as we drop thought, as soon as we allow thought, the system to clear, we'll have a new fresh thought. We will have a new feeling and a completely different experience of life. And that's the hope for any human being. Even if you've been stuck with habits of thought for years, even if you've been anxious for years or worried for years or insecure for years, once we start to notice we have a habit of thought that's not serving us, we can just let it go through the system. Something new will pop up, new and fresh and more alive and more energetic. And we'll have a completely different experience of being alive. But the second part, the part that you've been pointing to, this quieter, deeper, truer place, that we can rely on is that there is a truth to us as human beings, which is we have an infinite potential. So whether we're a leader, whether we're a coach, whether we're a mother, whether we're an Olympic runner, whether we're a writer or a singer, we have this creative potential that flows through us. Now, when we bring it to bear in life in Fiona Flavor or Wilhelm Flavor or Patrick Flavor, we create something in the world that is of us, but not of us. It's a, yeah, I don't know how to describe it.
It's a creative force.
It's a creative force that makes us unstoppable because it's aliveness and energy and inspired and for us to thrive in the world. It's for us. It's our gift to ourselves and the world. And it's when we start to just look there and play there and start to trust that place in ourselves, that aliveness in ourselves, that energy in ourselves, we just show up to the world different human beings. We show up more loving, more creative, more generous, more content, more peaceful, more free, more graceful, more creative, more clear. We're unstoppable power. And part of what we talk about in building capacity and power in the programs that we do is this invisible power is what gives us the energy and aliveness in life that we can rely on 100% of the time.
So if you're feeling stressed, you're feeling burdened, you're feeling worried, you're feeling anxious, consider the possibility that the source of that is not your circumstances. The source of those feelings is actually the thinking that's running through your system in the moment. And if you can let that thinking be for a bit and not overthink and overanalyze and try to fix, change, alter stuff, just let it be for a bit. Notice that your feelings is very likely to change. And then a new experience of life occur, and often also some insight and clarity and new perspective on the situation that looked frustrating or problematic before. Yeah. So thanks for listening. I'm back most days of the week with shorter episodes and the Winning the Game podcast, and on occasion longer ones like today. So happy exploring and thanks for listening.